Good morning, everybody. It's a good time to open your eyes. It might be a little late. We had a long night, didn't we? I tell you what, I did. I don't know about you, but I was kind of up late because we had trees falling down in our on our street, and my wife found a giant limb laying on our electrical wire outside the back of our house, which we waited for Ohio Edison to come and look at, and they did not. But the fire department came and looked at it, but Ohio Edison couldn't make it, and the guys in the fire truck told me they're not going to make it. They're busier than the one arm paper hanger. So no blames, no criticism of Ohio Ed. We just except I do have one criticism of Ohio Ed. They put me on hold for, I don't know, 30 to 45 minutes when I was reporting that I had a giant limb laying on my electrical power. I didn't mind. I knew it was going to take a long time. I didn't mind the 45-minute hold on the phone. What I minded is the music. Oh, my gosh. That's the worst music in the world. And it repeats time and time again. It's maybe a four-bar progression that just keeps going over and over and over. And then they kind of throw in the sweet-sounding little girl that says, we know it's important to get in touch with you. The next person that's available will get on the line. You know, that type of stuff. That drives me nuts. Anyway, I'm sure they'll be out there fixing our, getting that huge limb off my electrical. It didn't break the wire, thank goodness. Our wire is supported by a big, huge cable. So right now, about a 14-inch round or crossed limb is laying on our, it's kind of holding on to the tree and also laying on that big, huge cable that's holding my electric up. Anyway, we got through the night, and we're doing okay. I hope you are too. I did see several different places where the wind had damaged. There's a building downtown here where it just knocked the heck out of a building. There are bricks all over the right there by the Greyhound station. There are bricks all over the parking lot there. And where else? I did see one of the streets that goes across to the library. Is closed, and I think it was because a tree came down in the middle of the street. So I hope nobody had any severe damage to your house, or definitely no damage to life or limb of anybody that lives with you. But today we are going to have at 11:15, 11:16, we're going to have Reverend Kiger on. And Reverend Kiger is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He and I got together when I was assistant athletic director down at Ohio University. I was there. He was our minister at, excuse me, I have to decline that. I just got a phone call from the United States of America. Does that annoy you? Anyway, Reverend Kiger and I met when I was at OU, and he came to OU as the minister of the Methodist Church there. And that was the church that we attended. And we got to be good, pretty good friends, because we had he had two sons, and one of them was in my eldest son's class, and the other one was in my youngest son's class. So we got, and both of them played a lot, very good athletes, and my kids were pretty good athletes. So we got to know them pretty well. And I'm going to have him on today, and we're going to just talk about the state of religion in the United States. So I thought what I'd do today, when I was talking to Scott just a few minutes ago on the air, I told him I wasn't quite sure what I was doing for the first hour. Well, I did have one thing I was going to do. I'm going to go kind of over some of the beliefs of the different religions of the world. And not just of the United States. These are the 18, I'm going to read off the 18 largest religions in the world. And some of them you've heard of, most of them you've heard of, some of you have not heard of. Atheism, agnosticism, that's one of the quickest growing religions, non-religions, in the United States. I think we're up to over 20% and closing in on 30% of the population claims not to have any belief in a God or anything. Baha'i. Have you ever heard of Baha'i? The reason why I've heard of Baha'i is because there's a Baha'i temple in Chicago. Well, it's in one of the suburbs of Chicago, but it's absolutely gorgeous. And so I have stopped there and looked at it. It looks very Muslim-esque, if I can use that term. But it's called Baha'i, and I'm going to try to tell you some things that Baha'i people believe in. Buddhism, that's another one of the 18. Christianity, Confucianism, that's hard to say. those are people that believe in the teachings of Confucius. And Druze, now I've never heard of Druze, but D-R-U-Z-E, Druze. And Gnosticism, I haven't heard of that either. Now, maybe it has something to do with agnosticism, but one of them has corn in the fields and the other doesn't. I really don't know what Gnostic, it's spelled with a G, but I'm sure it's pronounced Gnosticism. Hinduism, those people who know anything about Asian religions, and know about Hinduism. I believe that's probably one of the, if not the major religion in India. Islam, we all know about Islam, especially after the last couple of decades. Jainism, and I don't know what that is. Judaism, we all know what that is. Rastafarianism. It sounds like somebody that has a recording studio to me. Rastafarianism. Rastafarianism. Shinto. That's an Asian, more Asian religion. Sikhism. Now, a lot of people confuse that with Muslim. Because they wear turbans. The men wear turbans. Those that are Sikhs. There have been people, unfortunately, killed because they were wearing a turban and somebody thought they were a Muslim. And they were, in fact, a Sikh. And the Sikhs, if I've got this correctly, are a very passive and peaceful religion. Zoroastrianism, and that's comes from, I think, I remember that in history from the Russian area. Okay, there are several African religions, and we won't go into those because there would just be more than we could deal with. There are just dozens of religions. And then there are the indigenous religions of the Native Americans, the Aboriginal, and those that are more third world. Let's leave it at that. I don't mean to look down on them. I'm just saying that they tend not to be known by the more, I hate to use this word too, civilized United States world. All right, let's go back in. Atheism, it refers to the absence of a belief in the existence of deities or an active belief that deities do not exist. All right, that makes it pretty clear that you don't believe in God. All right, and there is a difference between an atheist and an agnostic, and I'm trying to find that one. the agnostics tend to be a little softer on their feeling about that. I can't find where it talks about the agnostics. Many people that consider themselves atheists argue that a lack of proof or scientific process prevents them from believing in a deity. And I believe the agnostics tend to, the idea of agnosticism doesn't profess to know whether there is a deity or isn't a deity. And that's kind of where I stand. I'm just ignorant. Let's put it that way. Leans on the fact that since you can't prove that there's a God, you assume there is not a God. So that's kind of what the agnostic belief is. And like I mentioned, people that are consider themselves atheistic or agnostics are growing by leaps and bounds in the United States. And I'm relatively certain that most people who claim to be atheists are probably more agnostic. And a lot of people that are afraid to be atheists because there are a lot of people in the United States that hate atheists. They don't know why. They just don't like anybody that professes not to believe in a deity. So they call themselves agnostics to make it sound a little softer. Does that explain it all? I doubt it. There was a very famous, I'm not going to go into the famous atheists that we know about, but many of them are scientists. And also, surprisingly enough, Ronald Reagan's son is, you see him all the time on an ad for a religious freedom. Freedom from Religion, I think, is the name of the group that he's involved in. And he says he's an atheist and not afraid of going to hell. I think most of us who profess to be agnostic or atheistic assume there is a no hell.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back. That last PSA reminds me, later this afternoon in my show, my Swap Shop show, we will not only be doing Swap Shop, but along with it, I'm going to make you know that you're as smart as your kids. We're going to go over those acronyms. I think I have 54 acronyms that people use on Facebook that you need to know what they stand for. And you need to know it mainly because, well, first of all, you don't want to be using an acronym that's saying something dirty, which some of them do, and we won't go over those acronyms. Second of all, you want to know what you're talking about when you have that, and that'll make you look like you're really smart. Okay, all right. Well, we talked about atheism and agnosticism. Let's go to Baha'i. Baha'i, that's the temple I was talking about. That's I think it's on the north side, up by Evanston. I think that's where it is, outside of Chicago. The Baha'i faith basically is a spiritual ideology that teaches the values of all religions. It talks about the importance of universal equality and unity, which is probably something we could stand for a little bit of right now. But it was somewhere in the late 1863, it was established as an ideology in Persia, which is Iran, right? I believe that's what that is. It is Iran. The people, I'm trying to see what it says about how many thousands of people there. It exists. There's only a few thousand people. It's not a huge religion, and it's more in the Middle East than it is here in the United States. Like I said, the only Baha'i temple I've ever seen was outside of Chicago. Beautiful temple, though, I must say that. There is a temple in Israel. That's interesting. Today, the Baha'i faith has somewhere between 5 and 7 million adherents. So it's not just a few thousand, but it's a few million. It's not one of the giant religions of the world. All right, Buddhism. My father, as you, my regular listeners know, my father was a Methodist minister, and he had a book called The Religions of the World, and it was a beautiful book, and my wife and I looked for it. We cannot find it. I wish I could, because it talks about probably the 10 most populous religions in the world, and it has lots of pictures. And some of these religions are very, very, their traditions are very beautiful. And Buddhism is a beautiful philosophy. It's not only is it a religion, it is a philosophy. And their beliefs surround Buddha, which would be logical, who was, one of those great thinkers. He believed in using your head. Yeah, that's kind of a gross way of saying it. But he lived between the 4th and 6th centuries. That's when they think he lived. They're not quite sure. He was basically in the eastern side of India. That's where he started his teaching. A very thoughtful religious leader, and also not just religion, philosophical. They dedicate their life to meditation, wisdom, kindness, compassion, a lot of things that we are very short-suited on here in the United States at this time. A lot of the Buddhists, if you know any Buddhist people, and I know a few, they tend to be very soft-spoken. You will never get in an argument with them. Well, you might, but they're very thoughtful people, and they care about the meaning of life and being kind and being smart. I'm trying to read about as I'm going and find out about the scriptures that they follow, but it really doesn't say much about it. Only about 7% of the world practices Buddhism. They claim that makes it the fourth largest of the world religions, with about 500 million adherents to the Buddhist religion. Well, the one religion that I would say just about everybody that's listening on the radio right now knows about is Christianity. We know about that, and I'm not going to go too deeply into that, but it's based on the teachings of Christ, thus the name Christianity. Our Bible has both the teachings of Christ, usually well, always in the New Testament. And the Old Testament is the teaching of from the Torah, which is the Jewish faith. That's what Christ based his faith on, because he was a Jew. That would be part of the religion. Obviously, the major belief, is that, or one of the major beliefs, is that Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and he was the Son of God. So that's what we talk about when we're talking about Christianity. All right, Confucianism. I knew I was going to get in trouble when I decided to do that this morning, because some of these names are not that easy to pronounce, and I'm not a real good reader. I have a little dyslexia, so I get the letters confused sometimes. Thus, when I was saying Confucianism, I didn't see the N on the Confucian. That was the dominant form of philosophy in the Orient, in ancient China. It comes to the teachings of the philosopher Confucius. And he lived somewhere around 500, I guess they say exactly from 551 to 479 before Christ. He viewed himself as a channel for the theological ideas that were coming out of the imperial dynasties of the day. It was distinctly humanistic and kind of secularistic religious idea for religion. I just got a ding. I love it when I get dings on my phone. They're not supposed to come through when I have it shut down, I don't think. Anyway, Confucianism declined drastically with the emergence of communism and Maoism, which was the Chinese leader back in the 20th century. Confucianism was basically snuffed out at that point in China, because both communism and Maoism disdain any religious feelings. I'm not sure why. My guess is the exalted leader doesn't want any competition. Let's touch on Druze, which is let's not. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody who is called a Druze. Have you? I don't think so. We're going to pass on that one. Even though it's one of the 18 most followed religions, it's not one I've heard of. Gnosticism refers to a single religious orientation, but it's interreligious. It allows for the phenomena of other religion to come into it, and it allows for the use, and I'm going to call it the use, of other religious ideas to build on its own ideas. It doesn't really tell me here how many people use are proponents of that. It's perhaps best understood as an intermediary set of ideas shared by a portion of the world as Christianity gradually eclipsed Judaism in size and scope. So I don't know if that helps you any. It only barely helps me, all right? Hinduism. Now, I do know several Hindus. It's regarded as the oldest religion in the world, and it goes way back. It was known in the Indian subcontinent as Vedic during the Vedic age, and I don't know what the Vedic age is. It says that was between 1500 and 600 before Christ. So it's a very, very old religion, and it comes from tribal ideals, and it's very pastoral. In other words, it's kind of a passive type of religion. It isn't an aggressive type of a religion. It's based on agricultural living, so therefore you can imagine that Hindu people are usually a gentle type, and usually are kind of passive in their aggressiveness, very, very kind people in general. Now, there's all kinds of people in all different religions, and it kind of based on how they were brought up and who their mommy and daddy were. Okay, there are. Let's see. I was going to go through some of the. I think I'm going to pass on going through some of the leaders of that religion. Some of the, they do believe in karma, which is, kind of the action you have and the intent you have is going to pay you back one way or the other. That's one of the things they believe in. Nobody's credited with founding that religion. You would think somebody named Hindu would be credited with that, but no figure or group is credited with its founding. It's the third largest religion in the world. It's more than 1 billion people, and that comprises more than 15% of the world population. That's a lot of people. All right, let's get to the one that we've all heard so much about recently, Islam. Islam is a monotheistic religion, a lot like Christianity and Judaism, and it traces its roots to the Garden of Eden. Adam and the prophet Abraham teaches
Scott,
that,
did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marian, native and Miss America, Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
2 jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back. It kind of surprised me there. Jumped in on me. I'm sorry about that. We're talking about Islam, and it traces its roots back to Abraham. It believes that Allah is the only God and that Muhammad is his messenger, much like the Christian religion believes that God is the only God and that Jesus Christ was his messenger and his son. As we say in our Bible, God spoke to Muhammad through the Archangel Gabriel sometime around 600 after Christ. So it's a newer religion than Christianity. Text of what God said to Muhammad is written down in a book they call the Quran, Q-U-R-A-N. And that's the primary text of the Islamic faith. They believe, much like many Christians believe, that it is the only and true words of God. And thus we struggle to have Christians dealing with people of the Islam religion, because one group thinks it's the true word was told through Jesus, and the other think the true word was told through Muhammad, and apparently ne'er the twain should meet. However, if I recall correctly, many of the Islam faith tenets are also Christian faith tenets, and we have, let's see, it says that more than 1.6 billion people believe in Islam. Anyway, keep getting these phone calls, these dings you hear in the background. That's my son. He's happy with his new shirt. Okay, let's continue on. Judaism. Judaism is one of the oldest of the monotheistic religions, and it believes in a single deity or God, it was the initial figure that led to Judaism was Abraham. He lived in Canaan, which is in the not too far from the current Israel, the foundation of the Jewish scripture is in the Torah, Torah, and it. It's where it would be what you would read if you go to a temple, which is what they call their church. And let's see what it says about. Apparently, God spoke to Abraham and commanded him to recognize the singularity and omnipotence of God. Abraham accepted that, and Abraham is kind of the father of the Judaism. It is monotheistic. That means it has only one God. It doesn't have several gods. Abraham is seen not just as the first prophet of Judaism, but also the Christian and Islamic faith. So all three of those faiths share Abraham as their genesis. Shall we say that? All right. God apparently promised to make Abraham's offspring the chosen people. I think he had 12 children, something like that. And that's why all three religions, even though we disagree with each other, have a lot in common. There's roughly 14.3 million practicing Jews. People of Jewish religion, which is approximately 0.2% of the world's population, thus making it one of the larger religions. They believe that Abraham almost certainly lived over 3,000 years ago, right around 3,000 years ago, therefore. Much of the scripture that you read, especially like in our Old Testament or in the Jewish Torah, is 2,000 to 3,000 years old. And thus questionable as to its scientific value. So Rastafarianism. Now that's a cool name. It's one of the newer religions, and it follows the Abrahamic tradition of one God, and it refers to a deity as Jah. Rastafari holds that the Christian Bible is their primary scripture, but offers an interpretation that is highly connected to their own political and geographical realities. Now, I got to tell you, that sounds a lot like many of our religions today in the United States. They tend to be molded to fit what the leader's ideas are. Anyway, Rastafarianism is very new, and there's only about 700,000 people that are adherents to Rastafarianism. Shinto. Now, Shinto is a very ancient religion, native to Japan. And it was first used, well, the term first came about in the 6th century after Jesus. And it really has been a molder of Japanese customs and Japanese lives. They believe in something called kami, or spirits, and the interaction with them through public shrines. And there are lots of shrines in Japan, if you've ever been to Japan. Beautiful shrines. There are 80,000 Shinto shrines in Japan. Can you believe that? And Japan's not that big, space-wise. Roughly 3-4% of Japanese population identifies themselves as Shinto. It's a reflection of the Japanese identity, it says here. Shinto observance is not necessarily limited to those who view themselves as religious adherents. So it's kind of a vague and yet highly Japanese-oriented religion. My father, he went to Japan and Korea and several of the Asian countries when I was just a young guy. I mean, I was really young, so it's been... oh, probably 50 plus years since my, well, more than 50 years, probably closer to 60 years since my father went to there. He did it as a member of the world of, I can't remember the name of the world church. Anyway, he went over there and got to talk to some very important people that were members of the that religion, and brought back beautiful, beautiful pictures and geisha dolls and things like that. I still have them, as a matter of fact. They're kind of getting fragile. Sikhism. Now, it's also a monotheistic faith. Now, I keep mentioning the monotheistic thing. That means there is one God in their faith. It comes from the Punjab region, and that's in eastern, it's in northern India and eastern Pakistan. The Sikh religion came into focus during the 15th century. It draws its tenets of faith from meditation, social justice, and human equality, from a scripture that they call Guru Granth Sahib. It is a very, very peaceful religion, if I recall correctly. The first spiritual leader was of Sikhism was Guru Nanak, and he lived from 1469 to 1539 and taught that good spiritual life must be intertwined with a secular life that is well lived. He called for activity, creativity, fidelity, self-control, and purity. And those are really strong parts of the Sikh religion. And I think just listening to those, you can understand what a peaceful type of religious person you would have to be to go along with that. All right, that's about it. And we're going to talk. I'm not going to really talk about the different religions of the world with Reverend Kiger, but Dan's going to come on here in about 20 minutes, and we'll talk about things of our own world. Dan is a Methodist minister, was a Methodist minister. I'm not sure whether you call him still or not. I can't imagine he would consider himself anything other than that. He was a chaplain at the hospital here in town. He also, for a while, was the minister at Epworth, and he was my minister down in Athens. And so he helped get my son married to my daughter-in-law. I say helped because why am I forgetting the name of her religion? Lovely. Anyway, her minister joined with my son's minister to conduct the service. And when we get him back on, I'm sure I'm going to remember what her religion is. It's one of the older religions as well here in the United States, related to Amish religion. Oh, well, we'll talk about it later. We got about a minute to go, and if you want to call in when Reverend Kiger is on, it's going to be really hard because he's going to be the only one on the only phone. So save your questions. After he gets off the air, you can call me and ask questions of me, and I think I can. Reverend Kiger and I pretty much on the same page in many respects. He happens to be a real Christian. I happen to be an agnostic, but I like to think of myself as a Christian agnostic. All right. Well, anyway, we will be away from, well, I've got about 20 or 30 more seconds. Let me give you, this is On the Air, I believe is the name of the show, temporarily. And you are listening to Glenn Coble here on WWGH 107. 0.1 on the dial, on the FM dial. So
you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention with conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott.